Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Welcome to today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for believing for a move of God with us, because we are revivalists. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Say to yourself, I am a revivalist. I am a revivalist. Today's message is called I Am a Revivalist. We grew up, I grew up in a culture of revival. My parents were the senior pastors of this church for 31 years. My wife and I took over the church 6 years ago, and we have revival deep in our hearts. If you're a part of our church family or you're looking for a church family, we are very passionate about seeing the South Coast become who she is called to be, which is the great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you say that? Say the great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. This is God's reality. This is His calling. This is who He has called us to be. In 1994, there was a great move of God. I'm going to have a photo put up on the screen. A great move of God called the Toronto Blessing. A church near the Toronto airport in Canada experienced a great move of God. It impacted the world. It impacted the globe. Our senior pastors from this church visited that revival, I think at least three times, came back to our church, and God just broke out of this church. The theme the Holy Spirit brought to this great outpouring was the theme of the Father's heart. And so when you would sit in the meetings of this revival, you would encounter a great move of the Father's heart in people's lives. Anybody who had any type of pain from their natural fathers or disappointment, which is probably most of us, had amazing revelation when it came to the love of our Heavenly Father. It literally touched the earth. It touched hundreds of thousands of people traveled to this church near the Toronto airport and experienced an outpouring of His Spirit. Fast forward to 1996. On Father's Day in 1996, a church in Pensacola, Brownsville, which is in America, had a guest speaker come. Get the next photo up, thanks. That's Pastor Steve Hill. He was the guest evangelist doing a crusade in this church. The Holy Spirit turned up in power, and this church experienced an outpouring of God's Spirit so powerfully that hundreds of thousands of people came to Christ because of what God did in and through this church. The guest speaker was meant to be there for a crusade and ended up staying, instead of a week, ended up staying for 4 or 5 years because of what God was doing. They had meetings 6 nights a week for multiple hours. Every night they would do an altar call, and they would get a 14-year-old girl up the front, and she would sing a song called Mercy Seat. And as she sang this song, people would run to the altar in repentance. Run to the altar in repentance. And the theme that came with this revival was the theme of the conviction and holiness of God. If you're in the room, you experienced crazy conviction. Drug dealers ran to the altar and were throwing their unsold drugs onto the altar, their drug money onto the altar. And it wasn't by man's ability, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, our pastors visited that church and got an impartation, came back to here, and we saw it break out in our church. And I was in year six at the time, 1996, and the Holy Spirit really just impacted my life in such a way that I went from being a very shy boy to being a confident, full of the Spirit young man of God. My own dad said, he said, it looked like your personality changed. This is what the power of the Holy Spirit does when he consumes our hearts. In 1998, there was a man called Rodney Howard Brown, and he spoke a crusade, and that's the next photo if you have that. And his move of God that he brought was very different. He would have these rooms full of thousands of people, and the Holy Spirit would fall in power, and it would manifest in laughter. The joy of the Lord would break out, and if you YouTube him, it looks extremely weird. Now, he's still around today. His new stuff, I'm not sure about, but back in 1998, every time he would minister, you would literally hear him preaching and have thousands of people, not just having a bit of a giggle, on the ground, tears down their face, being extremely rude in the natural, laughing under the joy of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's kind of weird and scary to watch. Again, my parents went to his meetings, and my dad, who's a great man of God, said that when he was in the room, he would sit there, and the glory of God would be so heavy on him that for hours he could not move out of his seat. You see, God has visited many times over the years according to his revival power for different reasons, bringing different things to the body of Christ. And each of those moves of God went on to impact the body of Christ in ways that we can't even measure today. Yeah. All the way from the States, Canada, all the way to little old Nara, which today we still preach about, because the same Holy Spirit who was there is the same Holy Spirit who is here. The great south coast of the Holy Spirit. What happens if we step into what God is saying with a yes and amen attitude and we become the great south coast of the Holy Spirit? Which I believe is going to bless every church in our city. I believe every church will be overflowing with converts and people coming to Christ. And I believe that God is looking for a people who will say yes and amen to what he wants to do in the great south coast of the Holy Spirit. But he has put an invitation out to you and I, and this is the invitation. Who will pursue me for personal revival? And with all of my heart, everything I have, I urge you this morning, pursue him with all of your heart for a personal revival this year. Don't treat it as a good idea. Don't treat it as a nice note and then you go home and you forget. Make it a daily pursuit that you would say this prayer, Holy Spirit, I want a personal revival of the heart. Even if you don't know what that means, pursue it. I am actively pursuing this for my own heart. And already this year, I've had two God encounters which have changed the way I think, have changed the way I walk, have changed how I talk to God, and we're only in April. For your heart, make this a pursuit, not just another good idea. Make this your 2024 pursuit, that you will pursue his presence in such a way that it consumes everything about you. This is a prayer that if you pray it, God will answer it. And our church will explode with the presence of God if we all become people of personal revivals. In humility, as students who come before him. This stuff is founded in extreme humility. My prayer right now is less of me and more of you. God, I will do everything I can to wash the people's feet, but I need you to empower me and to infuse me with the Holy Spirit in a way that supersedes my expectation and my experience, because you have called the South Coast to be the great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. And when I say that, it usually gets a giggle because of the song written in the 90s, but it's actually prophetic. But how do we see it, church? Charlie and I, we've prayed, we've tried our best, we've done everything we can to try and see this church step into all it's called to be, and we come to the conclusion that unless the people of God have a personal revival of the heart, we are never going to step into what God has. We have to break through the comfort zones, the selfishness, the human reasoning. We have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, send revival to our hearts. I am a revivalist. You are a revivalist. And if God can use 120 men and women up in an upper room who are cowering away in fear, you know he can use you and I. Today I want to speak to you about living a lifestyle of revival. Say that with me. Say, lifestyle of revival. Yeah, this is good. The typical way of life. This is a lifestyle definition. It's a typical way of life of an individual, group, or culture according to their convictions. We all live lifestyles based on beliefs and convictions. What are some lifestyle choices that you have made and why? Now, I'm not going to get you to yell them out because you might weird out the person next to you, but there's definitely some interesting lifestyles that exist in the earth. The way you live, the way you eat, the way you think, all these different things exist according to our belief systems. I'm going to give you a couple of weird lifestyles that exist. Is that okay? All right, the first one, if you have the photo. There are people who have the lifestyle of eating roadkill. I'm going to read you an excerpt of someone who has this lifestyle. This is what he said. He said, when my friend, by the way, what's roadkill? For anyone listening online who doesn't know, that's when you see some dead animal on the side of the road that's been killed on the road. Roadkill. So there are people out there who feel like they can't buy meat from the shops because it's unethical, but they can buy get for free dead carcasses on the road. Okay, let me give you an excerpt of what this is. And if there's you in this place, hey, I want to meet you afterwards. That'll be. This is what he said. He said, when my friends come around for dinner, they always know the food will be odd. It could be a fox lasagna or a frog stir fry. I usually let people know what's going to be in the dish, but I did once serve a spaghetti bolognese at a dinner party and forgot to say what was in it. And after we finished, there was a row about whether it was venison or pheasant. When I revealed it was a two-owl bolognese, part tawny owl and part barn owl, a silence fell across the room. For a moment, everyone looked quite shocked. Then someone broke the silence. That was delicious, they said, and I'm glad the owls were put to good use. I couldn't agree more. That's his quote. They gave, this is another, just on the same lifestyle. Students at England's Bournemouth University have also reportedly been learning in classes how to eat roadkill. Of course, they've also been cooking and tasting their results. Here's the quote. It was strange at first, but the meat was delicious, one student said. After a few bites, I forgot I was eating an animal that had its brains smashed out by a car. A lifestyle of eating roadkill. The second lifestyle, I just want to give you an example of. And by the way, you have all your own weird lifestyle choices, I'm sure. But this is a lifestyle of people. I'm going to use one man in particular. And next photo, please, Ryan. Who actually don't bathe. They believe that bathing and water is going to hurt them. Therefore, they live in a world of not bathing. For most people, a nice hot shower is a perfect way to unwind and relax after a long day of work. However, imagine you haven't taken a shower for over 60 years. Well, that's the case of this man. His name's Amal Hadji, 87 years old. He's been called the world's dirtiest man. Hadji hasn't bathed in 67 years. And he doesn't bathe because he fears water will bring him sickness. Some of our youth might need to write this down. I can see some wives just nudging their husbands. He's now 94, or he was 94, and he's a hermit for obvious reasons. He also ate roadkill, and he smoked manure. The weird thing is that the village that he lived near, the villagers finally talked him into having a bath for the sake of his socializing. And after having the bath, he died. And the thought is, it's because he had so much, his immune system was so used to all the dirt and all the germs and bacteria that when he got into a really clean environment, his body freaked out and killed him. He was also 94 years old. Now, I've got one more, but I don't know if it's appropriate for church. Can I just see a show of hands who wants to... Okay, it's on you then. You can't blame me. This is your decision. All right, next photo, please, Ron. This is the lifestyle. Of those who drink their own urine. Now, our resident vegans are on a cruise right now, so that's our youth pastor. But the headline says, vegan who drinks his own urine daily swears it's the secret to eternal youth. A 34-year-old vegan in England swears the byproduct of relieving himself relieves more than just his bladder. Harry Madadine has claimed he drinks his own urine daily, saying that the stomach churning practice has cured him of depression and makes him look 10 years younger. He said he used to suffer from depression and severe social anxiety, which he claims was almost completely cured after beginning urine therapy. And here's a quote from him. It was beyond my wildest imaginations how powerful it was when I drank it. From the moment I drank it, it woke up my brain and removed my depression. I felt a new sense of peace, calm, and determination. And I thought, wow, I can make it for free and always keep myself in this happy state. That wasn't intentional. All right, so we all have lifestyles that we live according to our convictions and beliefs. The question is this: what is the normal Christian lifestyle that we're called to live? The answer is this: to walk as Jesus did, bringing the reality of heaven to earth. Our normal lifestyle is this: in Nowra as it is in heaven. in Nara as it is in heaven. We are called to live a revival lifestyle. Revival, by definition, means this. It comes from a combination of the Latin word vivo, meaning live, and re, meaning again. It's like a rebirth or a reawakening, an invigorating experience where the Holy Spirit moves freely among believers, setting their hearts on fire for the Lord. Just up on the screen, revival refers to a spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. It encompasses the resurfacing of a love for God, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion for His word and His church, a convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin, and a spirit of humility and a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. We are called to be revivalists. We, according to heaven, are revivalists. God's normal for us is not what society says or what our circumstance says. It's actually what heaven's normal is. Jesus told us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. So our expectation should not be what man thinks it should be. It should be what God says it already is. And this is why we have the power of the Holy Spirit to infuse and lead and equip us to live in revival power. Pursuing a personal revival will cause you to bring heaven's reality here on earth. There's actually two types of revivals, in my opinion. We have corporate revivals, Toronto, Pensacola, Rodney Howard Brown. There's moves of God. And then we have lifestyles of revival. Now, I've been really challenged on this, and I believe we must pray for both. We must pray for an outpouring of a corporate setting of the Spirit of God. Again, 9 o'clock every Sunday now, we have revival prayer. And thank you to those who came out to pray this morning. And if you weren't here, come next week if you can make it, because we are praying for those who are yet to be here. We are praying for the orphans and the widows. We are praying for those who can't stand for themselves. We will stand for them, and we will ask for a move of the Spirit of God. Every great corporate outpouring of God in history, including the book of Acts and Acts chapter 2, was birthed out of prayer. So when you come before God for a personal revival, it is in prayer. When we come before God corporately, there is power in agreement, and there is a blessing that comes with us praying together. So we must ask the Lord for a corporate outpouring upon our city and upon our church, and we must ask the Lord for an individual revival that we might live a lifestyle every day of a move of God. Bethel Church in America, Pastor Bill Johnson, has said to his church, they've been living in revival now for 10, 20 years. And they have a city of 90,000. They have 12,000 people who hungrily come together. And the presence of God in that place is like nowhere I've experienced. I've been there 3 times. Every time it's the same. It's the closest thing to heaven touching earth that I've experienced. But the way that they talk to their church is this: we pray for corporate outpourings, but we live revival lifestyles. We don't sit and wait and don't do anything. Instead, we walk in revival fire today, and then we come together corporately and experience the blessing of it together. So here's some characteristics. Now, you're speaking or you're hearing from a guy who has been studying revivals since I've been 13 years old, literally. You've heard me say this probably, but I was a kid that would be in my bedroom at 13 when other kids were off doing things. I would be reading about historic revivals and praying, seeking God as a 13-year-old boy. I know this stuff. And I'm inspired by what the Lord has done. And Australia right now is primed. It is like a tinderbox. It is dried, ready for a touch of heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm telling you, in the spiritual. And if you're prophetic, you can probably start to sense it. The Lord is wanting to move in such power. And I just want to be a part of it. I want our church to be a part of it. Here are some characteristics. Corporate revivals, which is when you're in a meeting and God moves and it's just like the examples I gave. Here are some characteristics. They are often en masse and there is quick transformation. They usually last, historically, 3 to 4 years. Do you know that? 3 to 4, maybe 5 years before either man gets burnt out because they're meeting 6 nights a week or for some reason it lifts. Often it's because it's based on a corporate meeting. And often it's seasonal. These are the characteristics of a corporate revival. Now let me give you some characteristics of a lifestyle of revival. You ready? Lifestyle of revival lasts a lifetime. It starts slow, but it builds. It is sustainable. If you have a heart of revival and live a lifestyle of this belief system, you will carry revival all the days of your life and it won't lift off you in 3 to 4 years. It can be experienced in everyday life as our normal, and it is based on identity and a realization of our current authority. I am a revivalist. I don't pray and just sit. I pray and I go. I understand that the anointing of God is upon me today. The same Holy Spirit that was on Acts chapter 2 is upon me today. Therefore, when I speak to you in the car park, I speak to you with revival fire. When I pay my fuel at the petrol station, I pay with revival fire in my spirit. When you go to your workplace, you carry revival fire. You are not praying in a prayer meeting for 30 years and not doing anything. You are actually knowing that today I can step out in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, should we not pray for corporate revival? We should always pray for corporate revival. But we have to understand that we don't need to wait for that because it's already in you today. This is a mindset shift. And it's been modeled by churches like Bethel Church who have transformed the city and cities because the people of God started to realize, I'm not just going to pray and do nothing. I'm going to pray and step out. Because if Mark's having a revival and Alan's having a revival and Nat's having a revival in their own personal life, when they come together corporately, it's all these little sparks that become a big flame, a big bonfire, a big outpouring, and then we go home to our families carrying this Holy Spirit lifestyle of revival. You don't need to eat roadkill. You don't need to do other things. But you must believe that you have the same Holy Spirit power in you, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Therefore, I understand that when I minister, whether it's from the platform or in a cafe to someone who's serving me coffee, I have the same authority. So, Lord, we say, send corporate revival upon our city. But we say, Lord, help us to have a revelation that we are lifestylers of revival. Our normal is revival. This is what God has anointed us to walk in. This is our grace zone. Therefore, there is an ease when you walk in revival fire. Now, revival has two phases. The first phase is revival in the people of God. Revival in the church. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The second phase is the impact on the world around us. People coming to Christ, measured by the impact of culture and society. That revival hasn't reached its purpose until society itself is positively impacted. Chris Vallotton says this, revival looks like loving well, serving faithfully, giving generously, and honoring our community without an agenda. This is a pivotal word for our church because you are a revivalist. I am a revivalist. And we will pray for a corporate outpouring that we will walk in revival power in our everyday life today. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Holy Spirit, please help us in this. The question is, how do we live? There's a bit of feedback up here. Just you can take it out of the fallbacks completely if you want. How do we live in a lifestyle of revival? How do we cause ourselves to be so, Holy Spirit, please help us get a revelation of what it means to be set on fire for you. Because these people in this place and beyond, you love them, and I pray that you would pour out the revelation of the fire of God upon this church, that we would move beyond our mental thinking and working out and limitations, and we would be so filled with a tornado of the fire of God. The same fire that was in Acts chapter 2, the same fire throughout Acts where the Holy Spirit moved in wind and in fire, move upon our hearts, Lord. Give us a people who will move beyond the flaky Christian mentality of just giving a little. Help us to understand the seriousness of the pursuit of God. I feel alone in this sometimes, Lord. Give us people who will pursue you with all of their being and all of their heart and all of their soul, and not look to the flesh, but will look to the anointing and the calling of the most holy God. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move in this place. Break off the comfort and the pride and the sin, and fill us with a fresh impartation of heaven. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Living a lifestyle of revival. Two steps, church, very easy. Number one, commit to a personal pursuit of revival in your heart. May we be known as a people that love God well, for His presence. May we be known as a people that honor Him well, for who He is. Revival is a result of hungering for God Himself. Did you hear that? Revival is a result for hungering after God Himself. Listen, who are you pursuing today? What are you pursuing today? What are you giving your life to today? I encourage you and I implore you, give it to the pursuit of God. Give it to the pursuit of the one thing that matters, which is that we might know God with all of our hearts. How is your worship life today? How is our prayer life today? How is our faith life today? The Holy Spirit is searching. Can He find faith on the earth? Who seeks after Him with a pure heart? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which you received through the laying on of hands. Church, we must become great at fanning into flame the fire of God in our hearts. And I preach this with such conviction because it's my pursuit. Which is my next point, my second point. We must be people who give out of our overflow. We must be a church who gives out of our overflow of our walk with God. You receive today out of the overflow of my walk with God. And you are not the prize for me. He is my reward. My one prayer is that I would know him, I would pursue him, I would be overwhelmed by God because of his beauty, and I would taste and see that he is good, and that my wife and my sons would encounter him. And then anything else gets given to you. Anything else becomes what I wash your feet with. But if I can't firstly have that hunger for God, then I have no right to minister to you. And you have no right to minister to another until your heart is consumed with the fire of God. And how do you get that? Your prayer life has to be, Lord, I seek you with all my heart. Lord, set me on fire for you. Lord, I surrender my all to you. Lord, help me in my weakness. Lord, burn up all the dross and all the sin and all the things that don't matter, and come and be my number one. And I know that in the hearts of you and I that we want this, but we have so much noise and expectation and life and responsibility. And God says, those who seek me will find me. Those who hunger and thirst will be filled. But I love that God is not just a filler type God. He is an overflow God. And this church will overflow. Hey, Easter Sunday, we were overflowing people outside. It should be every Sunday. I encourage you, be a bringer. I encourage you, don't sit by yourself. Don't be that selfish. We're going to do something in the... I'm going to tell you. I wasn't going to tell you. I haven't even told our team. We're doing an evangelistic month next month. It's called There's Always Room at the Table. Where we're going to believe God, and we're going to start to speak this as normal, and we're going to say in our own spirit, there is always room at the table. At your connect group, there is always room. On a Sunday, there is always room. At the table in your kitchen, there is always room. Let's be a church that moves beyond our comfort. We are so comfortable. Even the seat you're in is so comfortable. I love comfortable seats, don't get me wrong. But Lord, we have all of heaven to be comfortable with you. Yesterday, the tragedy of Bondi. A 38-year-old mum gets stabbed to death and a 9-month-old. Right now, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he's holding on to life. How dare we come to church just for me? How dare we sit in seats every week without doing all we can to compel people to come in and partake of the goodness of God? Because that is what revival is. And Charlie and I, I'm telling you, we every week invite. We live this. This isn't a game for us. And we have an anointing on us. And all you're going to do is just watch the news and go down the street and talk to someone who's currently on ice or meth or a family member on the drug, and you will see the brokenness and the torment. So God, send revival and send it upon my heart. And I repent and I say, help me. Give me the godly confidence to reach out and to minister from the overflow. When we live a lifestyle of revival, when we live it well, we have a natural overflow to minister to those around us. John chapter 10, verse 10 in the Amplified says, the thief comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and enjoy life and have it to abundance. It actually means this, to the full until it overflows. We give out of the overflow of our walk with God. God is not a God of just enough. He is a God of more than enough. We're not going to pray and wait. We're going to pray and go. We're not going to pray and sit. We're going to pray and go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Church, it's time to go. It's time to go and to bring and to minister and to be so close with the Holy Spirit that when you speak to someone, you're saying, Holy Spirit, who are they in your kingdom? What is their calling? What is their anointing? Lord, help me to minister to them right now in obedience, and that the power of the Holy Ghost convict you enough that you would step out in love. We must become good at washing people's feet. I'll finish with this testimony. On Friday, I had the privilege of ministering to a bunch of pastors in our region. And these guys are pastors from south of Nowra down to Eden or Pambula. And I was sitting in this room with these, there's about 10 of us in this room. And I thought to myself this, what a privilege it is to sit with these men and women of God. One of them is a sheep farmer, and then they pastor a church. One of them packs Woolworths night packing to finance the ministry they do in a local church. One of them owns a paint shop and does that to make way and to empower his family to run a local church. And the scripture came to my heart. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. And I got to sit with these men and women of God, and I got to hear them talk about their churches, talk about their challenges, talk about what they're seeing God do, talk about what the Holy Spirit's speaking to them about. And I thought to myself, how do I wash their feet? This is how I think now. How can I serve these precious people? And I was like, listen, I said, let's get everyone in the middle of the circle, and we're going to finish by praying blessing over them. Praying and prophesying if God starts to prophesy. And we got them in the middle, and we just started, the Holy Spirit started to flow. Words of God started to come. Encouragement started to come. Words of knowledge started to come. And people just started receiving a touch of heaven. And it was my turn. I stood there, and they prayed for Celebration Church. And one man, the sheep farmer, said to me, I believe God is saying to you that he's wanting you to wash the feet of the body of Christ, not just within the four walls here, but he wants to let you rip. And it was the very thing that God had already been speaking to me about. Now, I don't know how that was going to work. I don't know how God's going to make a way for that. But I walked away from the meeting, and I sat in the car, and I was like, Lord, I say yes to using whatever you've placed on my life to wash people's feet. And whether I'm pastoring in that or whether I'm just living my life for Christ, I will just be someone who is intentional about washing the people's feet. And for me, my prophetic anointing, if that's what you want to use, Lord, then I say yes and amen, and I will wash people's feet with that. Church, here's a question I have for you, just as we finish. What is the anointing of God on you? What is the revival river that is in you today? How can we use that to firstly wash each other's feet in this place? And secondly, how can we use that to wash the feet of those in our city? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I want to leave you with this. God has placed revival rivers in you and in I. It's time to break the dam walls down so that the river might flow with authority. And if God can use 120 people who are fearful yet hungry, he can use our church. But the responsibility is on you and I to pursue a personal revival. It is not on me for you. It is not on your neighbor for you. It is not on your spouse for you. It is not on your parents or your children. It is on you for you to say yes. And just as that man gave me a prophetic word yesterday, and my response was, I don't know how, God, but yes. So God says to each of us today, he says, I have anointed you. I have called you to live a lifestyle of revival. And we don't need to know how that outworks. We just simply need to say yes. Because I don't have it in me to preach to comfortable Christians. I'm sorry, I don't. I can't be a pastor if I'm going to be preaching to comfortable people. There needs to be a sense of hunger and desperation for the living God. I'm not good at playing church. I get too bored. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at faking it. Lord, come and move. Why don't we stand to our feet? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just going to speak to the prophetic people in the room. May the Lord reveal to you the pictures he has over our coast and over the city. May you start to receive an increase in prophetic discernment when it comes to what the Father wants to do over the city. And start to speak it according to what he says. If you're in this place and your heart is not close to Jesus, if you've never given your heart to Christ, or if your heart has wandered far from him, and I just want to ask everyone to close their eyes. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, or you've walked away from Christ and your affection is not towards him, would you respond this morning in humility and say, I want to come to Christ? And would you put your hand up and say, that's me. I want to get my heart right with God this morning. I want to make sure that he is my Lord and Savior. If that's you, just put your hand up and say, that's me. This is a moment of salvation. A moment of repentance. Let's pray this prayer of dedication together. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And today, I give you my life, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And give me a new start. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church, I want to make a commitment to you this morning that every week we make room for people to respond to Christ in this place. Anyone, any of our speakers in church, let's make room every week now. If you bring them in, we'll make room for response. Does that sound good? There's always room at the table. I just want to pray with us one more prayer. Just close your eyes with me. I'm just going to pray a prayer about living lifestyles of revival. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to live. Why don't we lift our hands? It's just an act of surrender. Oh, Lord, we do ask for corporate outpourings of your Spirit. We ask for awakenings. We ask for our city transformation. And we also ask for a personal lifestyle of revival. Help us to live hearts according to hearts that are full of fire and full of revival power. And I pray that we would just go to the next level in pursuit of you. I pray this week, Lord, the church would pursue you like they have never pursued you. They would seek after you like they have never sought after you. They would pray, that they would speak in tongues. They would call out your name, Jesus. That there would be a hunger that would rise up within the people, not just of our church, but of every church in our city. Let there be a fervency in the hearts of people for a touch of heaven. And Lord, we declare in Nara as it is in heaven. Just say that with me. Say, in Nara as it is in heaven. Oh, come on. The great south coast of the Holy Spirit. And look past our unbelief and look past our doubts and look past our weakness and supersede. Move beyond. Blow our small mindsets away and help us be so filled with a vision of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I just feel like everyone has their eyes closed. If you, there's people in this place and you're struggling with grief. The Lord says He wants to help you in your grief. If that's you and you're struggling with grief this morning and you're saying, Lord, I just want your help, will you just put your hands up to heaven? Awesome. Just put it really high. Put your hands high so you can see them. Can we just get around these beautiful people and leave your hands up if your hands are up? Let's get around and let's minister comfort and the peace of God. There's some down the front here, there's some over to the right over here. And let's just minister the beauty in the heart of Jesus right now. That God will comfort those who mourn. God will comfort those who mourn. Can I get some of the worship guys up? And just start to declare comfort. Declare peace. Declare wholeness. Declare healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just declare your presence, your healing presence right now, Lord. Your healing touch right now, Lord.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.